Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Navasesha Sanyavadi Pashkatile Zitarane. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jana Jala Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah.
I will take that.
Sri Chaitanya Manapustam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapanantikam. Vansha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. We are very, very fortunate for unlimited reasons. But at this very moment, we are very fortunate because we are sitting so close to Giriraj Govardhan, who is unlimitedly merciful and also unlimitedly powerful. And to sit so close to Giriraj is as probably most of you will experience during this time here, is being in extremely soothing shelter, extremely powerful and soothing shelter, without speaking very much about that, that what can happen in the shelter of Giriraj, which we shall speak of very soon. I would like to read two verses about Giriraj. One is spoken by the gopis, actually one gopi in Vrindavan from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, a very, very famous verse. And the second verse, which names the speaker of this verse I'll now read, is by Raghunath Das Goswami. What I remember especially from, I remember so many things from the previous two retreats, but one of the things that clings most to my memory is that soothing shelter of Giriraj Govardhan, who is also known as Haridasa Varjo. So in the 21st chapter of the Bhagavatam, an unnamed gopi says, Hantayan Adriya Bala Haridasa Varjo Yat Ram Krishna Charanas Parisha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tuyoyat Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandara Mulai. This is the English translation of that verse in the BBT Bhagavatam, which comes from Srila Prabhupada's translation, where this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So one gopi says, of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill, because what makes Govardhan Hill the best of all the devotees? So now some explanation will come. This hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. Giriraj Govardhan is fixed in the mood of servant. Servant to Krishna, Balaram, and all the servants of Krishna and Balaram. All the servants of Vrindavan, Giriraj Govardhan, his mood is always to provide facilities for the devotees, the lovers of Krishna, to bring Krishna pleasure. In this way, the text continues, the hill offers respects to the Lord, being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. In these very places that we're sitting and looking at, Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boys, the cows, the gopis used to wander in these places. They used to wander on Govardhan Hill. They used to wander in this grass, or not on the grass, but in the earth, the ground that we are now seated upon. The lotus feet of Krishna has touched this. The lotus feet of Balaram has touched this land. It is described, and we'll hear about this later, that this land is so fortunate and glorious because other incarnations of Krishna, they would always wear shoes when they walked around. But because the earth, and there's something very important for us to note in this, because the earth called out to Krishna to make him descend, Krishna, that means she was in anxiety and misery and difficulty because of why? There was an overburden of the demoniac population, and it deeply affected her. And what did she do? She called out and begged Krishna to descend. And because she was carrying that difficulty, and she called out for Krishna to come, Krishna decided to especially benedict her by walking all over her with his lotus feet without any shoes. This also is described when Dhruva Maharaj is told by Narada Muni to go to Mahavan. In Prabhupada's purport, he explains that this land is so special because Krishna would walk here. In Mathura even, in Dwarka, Krishna would wear shoes. But here in Vrindavan, just a cowherd boy. So, this hill offers respects to the Lord being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant, ecstatic, performing that service. And Raghunath Das Goswami names the speaker of that verse. And who is calling Govardhan Hill, or someone else the greatest of devotees? Haridasa Varja. Who is speaking that? Anyone happen to know? Raghunath Das Goswami says? Who? Srimati Radharani herself. So these words, Haridasa Varja, you are the greatest devotee. These emanate from the lotus-like lips of Srimati Radharani herself. This is Raghunath Das Goswami's words. Giri nipa haridasa srinivayate nama mritam idam uditam sri radhika vaktra chandrat vajanavatilaktve kliptivedas putamme nijanikitane vasam dehi govardhanatvam. O Govardhan, Srimati Radharani. Oh, this is Raghunath Goswami saying, O King of Mountains, O Hill, whose nectar name, the best of Lord Hari's servants, Haridasa Varja, flows from the moon of Sri Radha's mouth. O Hill that the Vedas declare to be the tilak marking of Braj, please grant to me residence near you. So we are so fortunate to be here, and our only engagement is to be hearing and chanting about Krishna, praying to Giriraj to soak up his benedictions of just by being in his presence. We are so fortunate, and we should pray to whoever we pray to. We should pray to Srila Prabhupada, we should pray to Giriraj, we should pray to our Guru Maharaj, we should pray to all the acharyas to please allow us to take full advantage of the mercy that is available under the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. So, we're going to the writing now. Yes, okay. So, to help sort of soften the ground for our taking advantage of the association that's available here, to be in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting in the presence of Giriraj Govardhan. We're going to now do some writing. Very simple writing. And it's not going to be marked by myself, who at one time was a writing teacher. And it's not even going to be seen by anyone else unless you want to just show it to anyone else. And what we'll do is for 10 minutes, make it 7 to 10 minutes. I'll let you know, and I'll be looking at everyone's faces to see if it... Because now I've found that because I do all my writing on a computer, I almost forgot how to write. But what I want everyone to do is just start your pen moving and don't let it stop. If you're more comfortable in a language other than English, whether it's German or Australian or... That was supposed to get everyone laughing. Thank you. Or whatever, you can write in that language, but just keep your pen moving and keep writing. 10 minutes, we'll say. And what I would like the basic topic to be is what I aspire and hope will transform in my heart by the mercy of Giriraj Govardhan and by the mercy of the Association of Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. What do I aspire to change in my heart that by their mercy? What do I wish? And yes, desire wonderfully. What is not possible by the mercy of our situation now? Just aspire very, very wonderfully, please. Anyone have any questions? Does anyone need a pad or pen? Okay. Do you have one? I also have one, actually. Thank you. No, I don't have it with me. I'll take that. Ma Bhagavat. I'll take one. I'm sorry. You ready? Keep the pen moving, okay? And I'll let you know at 5 minutes, 7 minutes, like that. What was the question? Yes. Oh, yes. What do you desire, aspire to happen here by the mercy of the association of so many devotees, Srila Prabhupada and Giriraj Govardhan, and the holy dust of Vrindavan? Okay? What do you aspire? What transformation in the heart? What do you want? What do you desire? Okay. Anyone's watch have a timer? To read what we've written individually at the end to ourselves and see if Krishna has... See what how Giriraj and Sri Krishna deal with us, have dealt with us during our experience here. So now, Maharaj, ready?
Hare Krishna. We will speak a little bit on a theme of these retreats, which is the transformation of our hearts. But first we will sing a little bit a very nice Vrindavan raga, which is very good. I'm not sure if I'm situated properly, because I can't see every one of you. Maybe I will have to... We will find out a little bit in the course of the time how to sit really properly. The idea is that you should spend maximum of your time looking at the Giriraj and so on. We're all still a little bit stiff. It's the first minutes of the retreat, but at least this exercise, Bhujan Prabhu, has really brought me in tune. Thank you very much for It's writing, so, okay, I will turn a little bit.
What would you prefer?
William Prabhu is leading us in the ecstasy department today. Thank you very much.
Not exactly what's going on.
The subject matter of these retreats have always been the transformation of the heart. I would like to tell you a little personal experience here at Giriraj, just lotus feet, where I felt something like the beginning of a transformation was happening in my own life. It was many years back, and those who know me know that I'm totally incapable of remembering numbers. At that time, the beautiful Bhaktivedanta Ashram was inhabited by wild plants and monkeys. We had just purchased it, and every day I was going with a bicycle around Giriraj and trying to find nice places, shady places like this one, to sit and chant the Hare Krishna mantra on beans. On that particular day, which I want to tell you about, I left early in the morning. I had requested an assistant to come later with a second bicycle and bring me a little khichdi for lunch. The journey started very auspicious. I drove right around here, Puchery, and then came to a particular nice place which Purijan Prabhu and Satsvarup Maharaj had indicated to me, and I was sitting there, and it was very nice. The rounds were going, and I soon became visited by a herd of wild antelopes and also these blue cows, Nila cows, who were all sitting or walking around me, accepting me as a bridge Parsi, an inhabitant of the Holy Land like they were. I felt very much intrigued. I was interested in zoology before and studied these beautiful antelopes very close as they went about doing their things, and thought myself to be an elevated soul. That they were so, let me say, so attracted to my auspicious association. After some time, the heat came. Not just the sun, but the heat which is necessary in each one of our lives to transform our heart and make it free from pride and enjoyable for the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. I remember closing my eyes to chant better. When I opened it, there were about 300 monkeys around me, all engaging in multiplying their families, having sexual intercourse, in other words. I was shocked. I closed my eyes again. All of a sudden, I heard loudspeakers, which for every Vraj lover are the challenge. And from the loudspeakers, I heard an ordinary rock and roll song from my distant past. Describing in very inappropriate language the activities of family extension. I felt by these two experiences, music and a video right before my eyes of sense gratification, means the monkey sense gratification, very much disturbed. I couldn't concentrate on my rounds any longer. I felt very hopeless. I became very dry like a desert. The heat was increasing, and finally I was running away from Giriraj Govardhan's sacred site. I said, this is enough. It is seen now what I am. I'm not an auspicious creature. I'm a very inauspicious creature from the West with many inauspicious sanskaras who have been shown to me now. This is the end of my chanting retreat. Not that I wanted to stop the process of Krishna consciousness, but I thought, let me go to the West, where I am a member of the Western society. Let me try to do some service. I'm very useless. So, this was my experience. One devotee of my one god brother saved me from utter desperation. My dear devotees, as you enter this Govardhan retreat, you might also find out some thoughts will plaguing you. You might be in the midst of Giriraj's on the Giriraj's lap, and you might also all of a sudden think of the West, think of embarrassing subject matters or of subjects not related to the classes. Don't despair. When you are in the process of making ghee from butter, the impurities will come out. Just like when you put butter on the stove and put on the heat, the brown parts come up, which look almost like fried, very coarse veins. Not attractive. When you are...
incredible.
Yes, but this is how the impurities are, very incredible impurities. But our lives has become very simple. For 1 week, we will be simple pilgrims in the kingdom of God. We will hear very patiently from Bhujijan Prabhu, and we will hear about the qualities of Krishna. And whatever our mind does, if it hears old music or things of old subjects which have been done before, that is not the issue. The issue is, let us draw our minds back to the transcendental subject matter. Let us stay in the sacred association of Giriraj and Krishna Katha. And you will see that at the end of the week, just by the power of the atmosphere, you will be transformed. You will have a new life. It will happen. I think it is very important that each one of us thinks deeply on about his or her transformation. If I may now criticize our beloved ISKCON a little bit, I think in our ISKCON society, philosophically speaking, we hear a lot of transcending, but not so much of transforming. If you just put your life on a different level, that is, you speak a different language, you don't say hello any longer, but you say Haribo. If you dress in the dress of another culture, that is, instead of jeans, you dress in dhoti and sari. If you are just engaged in doing things which you have not done before, like chanting and reading and so on, you may successfully make a distance to your old life. But the old life will follow you like the shadow, and at one stage it might catch up with you. If we just are active on another platform and we have not taken care of our human weaknesses, of our own attachments, maybe, to this world, then there will not be a lot of Haribo, at least not for many, many years, because we have neglected to take our other side and transform it and make it into something enjoyable for Lord, for Shri Radha and Krishna. The old life will in some ways come back to us. The German children all know what about one special cartoon. It was about a man who had suspenders, gummy suspenders, and he walked, and his suspenders got caught in the handle of a door. But he ignored this and continued to walk until finally the sharp holder of the suspender was released and boom, came into his liver like a bullet and almost killed him. There's another possibility which happens if you don't transform your old attachments, but if they're just somewhere in your life, if they're just there, you can make a lot of advancement, real advancement, but because the attachments still cling to this world, you go this far and then shwoop, you become pulled back to where you come from. And I think our international attempt for becoming Krishna conscious has many, many failure stories of devotees who tried their very best. They tried to come on a different level and move on a different level. But because they had not taken their whole being and transformed it, they were pulled back by the old attachments. The Hari Bhakti Vilas gives a very interesting analogy of transformation. The Hari Bhakti Vilas speaks about the procedure of making gold. You take an ordinary metal, let us say like brass, and you apply a certain alchemical process. If you want to know what this alchemical process is, I can tell you in private, because it's a little, it's so gruesome that our Matajis would faint if they would hear it. So you take a certain alchemical process, and then you make the tin or whatever it is, the bell metal, you apply it and then it changes from bell metal to gold. A very good gold, which you can sell on the market and so on. So the Hari Bhakti Vilas says, the initiation into Krishna consciousness is to be compared with this alchemical process, which takes our heart and makes it brahminical, pure. Sattvic and very enjoyable for the Lord, ultimately transcendental. If we speak of transformation now of the heart, what does this exactly mean? I mean, we don't take our heart and we expect to have a golden heart which we can, I mean, which our successors could sell on the marketplace when we have left our body. What does it exactly mean to change the heart? Have you ever thought about this question? What does it really mean to transform your life? Is it a relevant question? In Yoga Sutras, it is said that the heart is the place where desires appear. If you want to change the heart, you have to change your desire. And you know that this is not so easy. Prabhupada gave us the example, a humorous example, that once a dog was made a king, But when someone, I believe, threw a shoe before the dog, which is for some reason very attractive for dogs, it jumped from the throne, the crown fell in one direction, the king's garb in another, and zoop, the dog ran after the shoe. This was what had happened to me in my retreat about which I have told you. I was seeing the monkeys and I was remembering things which are not suitable for the Brahmacharya ashram. And I heard the music and in my heart I heard an ordinary rock and roll song. In Raj they play songs like Krishna Kanaya what is it? Shyam, Shyam, Radhe, 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 Shyam, Radhe, Shyam, 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 Radhe, Radhe. You must have heard the Vraj hit. Now they play, don't play Beatle music or whatever it was. It was just my mind which played it. So we have all these samskaras, my dear devotees, and we have to transform it. You can't keep a heart full of material desires and full of the concepts of I and mine and hope to progress in Krishna consciousness. You have to transform it. You have to make the heart a golden heart. The heart will feel, oh, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. This is how you feel when you transform. You know Madhurya Kadambini? Some of you have read this book. At the very end of the book, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as a summary to it, says, the whole process aims at changing ahamamethi, I and mine, into, you know, no longer I'm Australian, or I'm a German, I'm this and I'm that. I am a pure soul, a servant of Krishna. At such a time, when your heart gets transformed, something will happen which is described in Jagadananda's writing. He says, the soul will lament, alas! I have served Maya so long! Is this too loud? You all look with great protest at me. What have I done? I am a Maya Das, not a Krishna Das. And at that time, when this regret comes in your heart, at that time something beautiful happens. Maya stops being attractive for you. You sincerely regret, what have I done? I'm 10 years in Krishna consciousness. I'm 20 years in Krishna consciousness. I'm a guru in Krishna consciousness, but my heart is like a coal mine. Then this happens, this sincere regret. Then the transformation is successful. Something is happening. And that is very necessary, my dear devotees. If we conveniently look the other side, no, I'm dressed now in a dhoti and in a zari. I am a seeker. Don't preach to me. I'm doing service. It's all right. I am not perfect, but I'm satisfied where I am. At this time, transformation will not happen so easily. It will also happen. But if we come to a seminar, something must happen with the coal mine, my anatomical coal mine, my heart coal mine. Must be changed. At that time, something wonderful will happen. Please come to this retreat with a burning desire to change for the better, to become a happy, blissful devotee, a member of the Hare Krishna movement. The process which is there for changing of the heart is very easy. Just like medicine, the rasayana, it's a which can rejuvenate practically a dying patient. It is said, satang prasanga mama virya sangvito Bhavanti Hritkana Rasayana Kata. The hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees is a rasayana, a strong medicine. It can revive the exhausted heart. It can make the transformation into a Krishna conscious devotee. Now this hearing about Krishna and Krishna related subjects is especially powerful on the lap of Giriraj. As you sit here, that hearing, which elsewhere is also very powerful, is increased by 1,000 times the potency. This is what it says. Here, you know, Giriraj will beam, 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 beam. This is the right English word, to beam something into something. This is a New Age word, I believe. He will infuse, this is what we, the language we are used as devotees. He will infuse the hearing about Krishna with a very, very special electrical power. The potency of Giriraj is so strong that, first of all, if you hear patiently as a service to Krishna, as a means of transformation, you will actually be able to see that a few things, a few covers, will fall conveniently away. You will actually be able to see some things will fall in the distance. And the next thing, this is called Taraka Shakti. The next Shakti is called Paraka Shakti, which will infuse you. You will actually be able to feel at the end of the day, oh Krishna, you are wonderful. You will feel attracted to Krishna, pulled to Krishna. Taraka means the liberating potency and Paraka the attracting potency, which is here in the Holy Dham. It is nowhere else. Once in Mumbai, there was a modern interview. Times of India has a chat room, email, some computer chat room, and the question came, why go on pilgrimage? And I said, because you will become infused by the Taraka Shakti, which will liberate you, and the Paraka Shakti, which will pull you towards Krishna. This must come. So my tip to all of you is, please come here for serious business. You have taken so much, paid so much money. You've ignored your sunburn to come here. You're now here for 1 week. Please perform the service of hearing very attentively. Please do not mistake hearing about Krishna as some entertainment. It is service. If you enter the hearing experience with an entertaining spirit, you don't get the benefit. You must understand, this is the prime process, Shravanam, of devotional service. Perform the service of hearing in the association of devotees. And the other thing, please avoid to talk about Prajalpa. I sometimes, because I'm a little radical by my unfortunate birth in Germany, think we should put verses all over the Dharamshala, which are inspiring devotees to talk about Krishna. And in the toilets, we should put things, shields, which say, when you talk about Maya, there's a very bad reaction. I'm sometimes thinking these crazy things, but I do not generally speak about them. Try to serve the atmosphere by avoiding prajalpa. Try to assist each other in talking about Krishna or Krishna-related subjects. This will very much help the experience. And then another little piece of advice, take shelter at Giriraj. You must know that here is an open treasure chest, the treasure chest of love, which is sitting here at Giriraj, and it is waiting for you to be looted, plundered. So when the morning is there, we have given ample time in the morning to chant your rounds. You might like to take your private sitting cushion and come here, sit and look at the Giriraj, or you might offer prayers and concentrate on Giriraj. I would like to end with a little narration which will focus your attention hopefully on Giriraj. Purijan Prabhu has helped us already with these two wonderful shlokas. And there's a very nice little narration which says that this holy Dham has actually appeared in this world by Srimati Radharani's mercy. It was once after the Rasa dance where Krishna felt very merciful, merciful is not the word, very so overly pleased and happy with the wonderful service of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And Radharani asked, are you pleased with this rasa dance? And Krishna said, very much more than pleased. Then Radharani said, if you wish, then please for the future create a pastime place where we can meet very undisturbed. At that time, Lord Krishna searched his heart. And as he looked into his heart, a wonderful thing happened. A seed came out of spiritual fire and spiritual water, which dropped from his heart on the ground. And this seed began to manifest into a beautiful stone, which grew into a beautiful rock, which grew into a beautiful mountain. And that was Giriraj, decorated with wonderful trees. And as Vishwanath Chakravarti says, with the fragrance of Lord Krishna. Do you know that Krishna has a problem? Krishna cannot disappear. Because when he goes, his fragrance is still there. The fragrance which reminds everyone that Krishna was here. This only Krishna has this beautiful fragrance. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the beauty of Braj is the fragrance of Krishna. Maybe Krishna has, we cannot see him. At least I cannot see. But we can see the beauty of Giriraj, which is the fragrance of the Lord before us. You will see as you sit here and look sufficiently, when you go to bed after 1 week, you will think of Giriraj. He will leave an impression in your mind. I sometimes dream of Giriraj because I have seen him so often and I have made many photos in the camera of my heart. So, this Giriraj is manifested from the heart of the Lord. It's a treasure chest waiting for you. The heart of the Lord is like a treasure chest, and you can now loot it. The key to this treasure chest is explained in the Gita. Think of me, manmana. Serve me, bhavamat bhakto. Majaji, worship me, and namaskuru, pay your obeisances. If you do this, the treasure chest will spring open for you. The treasure chest of Krishna's heart, which is here, the sacred mountain of Giriraj. And by Giriraj potency, I hope that the impossible happens in my life. My heart will become transformed, and the coverings of Maya will go, and I become a nice devotee of Lord who does nice service for Krishna. I wish all of us a wonderful time here. I feel very excited to be in your presence. I was so excited coming here that I have not slept sufficiently, but today I will go to bed early and then hope to serve you with. I'm also very, very, very happy to be with Bhurijam Prabhu. Bhurijam Prabhu told me one important thing which I want to confer to you.
But I told you the secret.
But not that thing which I'm telling. You have told me many secrets, yes? But don't worry, I will not talk about the secrets. Bhurijam Prabhu, who has spent a lot of time in Vrindavan serving, has given one very nice advice, which at least for me sits very good in the heart. He said, when you really want to experience the atmosphere of Vrindavan, you must a little bit, you must calm down, you must in a way relax, so that Giriraj, Krishna, Srimati Radharani can take control over your life. And you have so many own plans and this expectation and that, and where do I sleep and what is then your mind is clustered. But when you can say, I'm here now, I'm the guest of Giriraj, he will take care of me, no problem. That is very suitable and very helpful. All of us Westerners with the spasms in our brain can relax and become happy. Hare Krishna, I hope I could express what was on my heart. The subject is really that we have come here for a spiritual experience, an experience of transformation, and it is quite easy. We will just enter the potency of Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna, thinking about Krishna. And when we enter this tremendous spiritual energy at the wonderful site of Giriraj Govardhan, these simple activities which we might have performed, which we perform anyways all over the world from wherever we come, will be infused with extra potency, and we can hope to be pulled towards Krishna. I want to thank you all very much that you have not spared the time and the long ways which you had to do to come here to make our retreat very nice, and I know I have heard from many of my godbrothers, some of them Swamis and Sannyasis, that they also wish to participate when it comes to this wonderful evening program which Bhurijam Prabhu will conduct, this wonderful Leela Kirtans, which is really something. But I want to just introduce my seminar, and then Bhurijam Prabhu will tell us more. This year, my subject matter is called The 64 Qualities of Lord Krishna. I have taken primarily the sources from Nectar of Devotion, but many other sources I have tried to pull together, not several other sources. And this seminar will be, I hope, a seminar which you can, we can all relish. It is not so much for a working seminar where you work a lot. You will just hear about Krishna and what Krishna does, and a lot about what Krishna thinks. Yes, we will have a lot of what Krishna thinks. And then we will just listen. There are sheets where you can see the seminar schedule, but our Braj Bihari will tell us more about these practical aspects. So, and I wish all of us a very nice, concentrated hearing experience in the mood of devotional service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai.
Hello, Giriraj Maharaj ki
jai. Very good.
I find that as the retreat goes on, the response gets louder.
Last year here I read a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Japan, in Tokyo, in 1972. And I happened to be there, and it was on the beginning of the ninth chapter of the second canto, a very important chapter of the Bhagavatam, because within that chapter, the ninth chapter, is the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam that Brahma heard from the Lord. I was there, and as it happens very often, at least for me, when I was with Prabhupada, I couldn't remember a thing that had happened. I didn't remember this lecture at all. I remember Prabhupada's presence being so wonderful there, and I remember how he asked, what should we lecture on, and he asked me to get him a book, and I brought that book, and I knew that book contained the Chatusloki Bhagavatam verses. It was a small chapter. The second canto was not yet published even. It was in 1972. And I brought that book to Prabhupada, and he was very happy. But he lectured on the first verse and the second verse and the third verse and the fourth verse, and he actually had us all memorizing the verses. And it was quite incredible. It was unique in ISKCON at that time. He had us saying the Sanskrit. No one had been doing that before. He was introducing that in Japan. But I really couldn't remember anything specific about the lecture. And then one day, somehow or another, I read a transcript of the lecture, and I was shocked how incredible it was. I read that entire lecture last year here. And since then, it has been reverberating through my consciousness. I'll read a segment of it here. And I call it the mysterious lecture. Because in this lecture, Prabhupada explains that we are with Krishna, but now we simply have forgotten, and that it is possible to wake up. I'll read part of the lecture. Yes? Now, the thing that struck me most with what Maharaj was speaking about the point on transformation, was that if we bring whatever we bring here, yayatamam prapadyante, what we bring to Krishna consciousness in general and here to the retreat, Krishna will reciprocate with that. We have to bring an open heart to allow so much mercy to come in. But what stops us from doing that? What stops me from doing that? There's a billion reasons, practically speaking. But they are all impositions of Maya. They're all illusion. They have nothing actually to do with me. They are a dream. They don't have anything to do with me. And that is what Prabhupada's going to speak about. And that's the title of the series of classes that I shall be giving
By the mercy of Giriraj and, of course, Srila Prabhupada and all of your mercy and Maharaj's mercy. But this world, that which we perceive as reality, who we identify ourselves as being, what we think our work is, what our duty is, this is a dream. This is illusion. This is Maya. Listen to what Prabhupada says in this very mysterious lecture. We have actually nothing to do with the material world. But we have been trained by the illusory energy in such a way that we are thinking, I am Indian, I am American, I am this, I am that, I am Brahmin, I am Sudra. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have so many duties. All these illusions, simply thinking. We have nothing to do with all this nonsense, but still we are taking it very seriously. I have to do like that, I have to do like that, I am this, I am that. That is explained in this verse. Atma mayam rite rajan parasyanu bhavatmana. I still mostly remember it. This is the verse, the first verse of the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto. This is what this verse explains. Except the influence of that Atma Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna, there cannot be any relationship at all between ourselves and this material world in illusion, Prabhupada is explaining. Except the influence of that Atma Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna, there cannot be any relation at all. Nagate ta cannot be a ta. Atta sambandha swapna drashto ivanjasa. The very exact example is given. Swapna drashto. What does swapna mean? Dream. Just like a man seeing dream. Oh, there is tiger. 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 Save me. He is crying. Another man sees him and says, where is the tiger? Why are you crying? Where is the tiger? But he in the dream actually feels the tiger has attacked me. And that's the problem I experience. I actually feel all this illusion. I feel the dream as if it's me. I think the dream is reality. And tomorrow we'll discuss this point. I see the dream as reality, and I see reality as a dream. This is the difficulty. There cannot be any meaning of this, Prabhupada explains, of this relationship between us and this material world, except like a man dreaming. He is dreaming there is a tiger, and he is creating a situation, a fearful situation. Actually, there is no cause of fear. There is no tiger. That situation is created by the dream. Actually, there is no tiger. Similarly, we have created this material world in activity. People are identifying that, oh, I am the manager, I'm the factory owner, I am this, I am that. We have got this politics, we have to defeat such competitors. All these things are created like that. Svapna drasto vanjasa, just like a man is creating his particular situation by dream. That is all, Prabhupada says. So the answer is, when someone asks you, when has one become in contact with this material nature? That's a question. How is it possible? And we'll discuss this tomorrow. How is it possible for the pure soul to contact the material nature and to get ourselves into so much anxiety and trouble and difficulty, so much illusion? How is it possible? And Prabhupada here says, when someone asks you when one has become in contact with this material energy, the answer, he has not become in contact. He is thinking like that by the influence of the external energy, Maya. just like the same example Prabhupada explains. A man is dreaming. There is no contact with a tiger. Actually, he has no contact with the tiger. Similarly, actually, we are not fallen. We cannot be fallen, but we have created a situation that we are. It is a very important point, Prabhupada says. We have simply created a situation. Try to understand. We have not created a situation. Krishna has given us a situation. Because this whole material world is situated just as the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita explains in Prabhupada's purport, just like the reflection of the banyan tree is situated on water, our situation in the material world is situated upon our desires. Therefore, if we want to change our situation, get free from the illusion, be with Krishna, it will come down to this point, a change of desire. So Krishna, we wanted to imitate Krishna, so Krishna has given an opportunity. All right, imitate. You want to be an imitation king on the stage? So feel like this. Play like this. Do like this. People will applaud. Oh, a very nice king, very nice. That is the situation. So everyone in this material world is playing some part. They want it. I want to be prime minister. All right. I want to become a very big business magnate. I want to be a leader. I want to be a philosopher. I want to be a scientist. So all this nonsense, they are trying to play Krishna. So they are trying to play, and Krishna is giving him the opportunity. All right, but it is nonsense. All nonsense. Simply dreaming. Just like you are dreaming. Next moment when the dream is gone, everything is finished. No more tiger, no more jungle, no more. Everything is finished. Similarly, so long this body is continuing, I am thinking, I am a responsible leader, I am this, I am that. But as soon as the body is finished, all these are gone. Sarvas haras chaham. Death means, Krishna says, I am death. I take it away. All, everything. Gone. Now just think of our past life. Suppose I was a king or something like that. From Bhrigu Samhita, it was ascertained. They said, I do not know, this is Prabhupada speaking, that I was a big physician in my last life, very spotless character, no sins. A reader explained that to me. So it may be, but actually, I have no remembrance that I was a physician. So what do we know? I might have been a very big physician, influential physician, having a good practice, but where is it now? All gone. So this situation, our contact with matter is just like dream. Actually, we are not fallen. Therefore, because we are not fallen, at any moment we can revive our Krishna consciousness. As soon as we understand that I have nothing to do with this material world, I am simply Krishna's servant, eternal servant. That's all. Immediately, such a person becomes liberated. Exactly like that. Sometimes, when a fearful dream becomes too much intolerable, we break the dream. We break the dream when it becomes intolerable. Similarly, we can break this material connection at any moment as soon as we come to the point of Krishna consciousness. I've had enough. I don't want to be the king anymore. I don't want to be Krishna. I don't want to be the center. I don't. My mind may want it. My intelligence may be scheming like anything, but no more. I've had enough. Krishna, Krishna, I am weak. I'm weak. Maya is so powerful. My habits are abominable. I'm depending upon you. This is why we have come to Giriraj. When it becomes too much intolerable, we break the dream. We break the dream when it becomes intolerable. Similarly, we can break this material connection at any moment as soon as we come to the point of Krishna consciousness. Oh, Krishna is my eternal master. I am his servant. That's all. This is the way. We cannot be fallen. The same example. Actually, there is no tiger, it is dreaming. Similarly, our fallen condition is also dreaming. We are not fallen. We can simply give up that illusory condition at any moment. At any moment. So if you study all these verses very nicely, you can get all this knowledge quickly. Very mysterious lecture. Very powerful. At any moment. But here, again, what seems like reality and what seems like a dream? But as Maharaj was saying, in the presence of Giriraj and in the Dham, reality just seeps through. Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that even when a non-devotee comes to Vrindavan, he can feel separation from Krishna. It's so powerful. It seeps through a thin layer of the material energy. I wanted to read another quotation, which is quite different from someone in my position who thinks the material world is real. This is from Madhurya Kadambini, also just the part that you were speaking about. But this is a little more in detail. What a person, this is right at the end, this is the vision of a person who has transcended the stage of nishta, ruchi, attachment, asakti, bhava, and actually he's achieved reality, his relationship with Krishna, and he loves Krishna. I want everything is everything to such a person, fully spontaneously, is to please Krishna. He doesn't want to, he's not conditioned. He's in love with Krishna. What is his experience? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, but I think I better, Maharaj, if you could hand me a little water, I better wetten the throat before going into this one. What I'm hoping for myself by being here, and I'll hope for all the dear devotees, is that this desire to be here in this consciousness will, it has already sprouted, but it will grow and grow and grow. Listen, this is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Trying to describe what prema bhakti is like, or someone who has achieved prema bhakti. Attaining the power to taste all the Lord's qualities, such as his beauty and fragrance, and tasting each one, the devotee ascends to higher and higher peaks of astonishing experience. And his heart melts on incessant realization of the Lord's unprecedented affection for his devotee. The devotees who are right now sitting at the Govardhan Palace, they are translating, they're editing the final part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and I've just recently seen some of this. The next to last chapter and part of the seventh chapter, when Krishna... when the Gop Kumar attains Goloka Vrindavan with Jana Sharma, and Krishna sees them entering for the first time, and Krishna runs to them in ecstasy. And everyone is wondering, Balaram even, is wondering, what has come over Krishna? He's herding the cows and suddenly runs to these two people in ecstasy and he faints in ecstasy and falls on top of them. This is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, the all-powerful Lord, the Almighty, so captivated by the love of his devotees. He's brought us here to Govanand, to Giriraj. He sent us, inspired, sent Srila Prabhupada to force us. In my case, it was more force than anything else. Forcing us to become devotees or aspiring in that way. Pushing against my will. This is Krishna. This is Srimati Radharani's work to pull us. And then Krishna sees the devotee and simply faints in ecstasy. So his heart melts back to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This book is so sweet. They've done such a super excellent job. When I was seeing Keshava Bharti Maharaj, every day I would say, how is the ecstasy today? And he would... because they'd be going over the verses, and what they're doing is just churning the words and making them perfect. And all the devotees would be so happy. So at his heart melts, the devotee's heart melts on incessant realization of the Lord's unprecedented affection for his devotee. Then the Lord, displaying his wonderful nature, says, O best of devotees, many births you have given up wife, house, and wealth for my sake. And out of obligation to serve me, you have endured the miseries of cold, wind, hunger, thirst, and pain, tolerated the contempt of other men, taking to a life of begging. Krishna has seen all the austerities, all the difficulties, all the pain, all the hardship that comes with the devotee's attempt to advance in his service. These are things that we can only share with our deepest, closest of friends if we have anyone so deep and close. And Krishna has seen every bit of it. And he says, I have, in payment for all your sacrifice, I cannot give you anything. I have become your debtor. Since lordship over the whole earth, taking the post of a demigod, acquisition of mystic powers are unsuitable for you, how can I give them to you? One cannot give grass and straw, the enjoyment of cows, to any human being. Though I am unconquerable, I have just now been conquered by you. I live for you and dance for you. I am hanging on to the creeper of your good qualities for support. This is Krishna speaking. Hearing the sweet, affectionate words of the Lord, the devotee says, O Lord, Master, Ocean of Mercy, you glanced upon me when I was being bitten by an array of crocodiles. The infinite miseries of endless births and deaths amidst the terrifying current of material existence. Lord, who is transcendental to all the material planets, whose butter-like heart melts as it manifests mercy. O original spiritual master, O destroyer of ignorance in the form of such qualities as lust, by manifesting the Sudarshan chakra of your wonderful form, you have pierced those crocodiles. What were those crocodiles? The miseries of repeated birth and death and everything in between, all the suffering, all the broken aspirations, our plans, our desires that have been crushed by time. You have pierced those crocodiles and freed me from the clutches of their teeth. To fulfill my desire to serve your lotus feet, you placed the syllables of your mantra in my ears. You destroyed my suffering. You purified me by the process of constant hearing, chanting, and remembering your qualities and name, and made me understand how to perform service to yourself through the association of your devotees. I am unintelligent. I am the lowest of the low. And even one day, I have not done you any service. Such a miserly, selfish person deserves to be punished. But contrary to this, however, showing your very self to me, you have made me drink nectar. You have mortified me by saying that you have become my debtor. Now I am thinking what to do. I would be presumptuous to ask you to pardon all my offenses, 5, 7, 8, 1,000, or 1,000,000. I can definitely say it must be more than 100,000,000,000,000 offenses. This is the devotee who has achieved the direct darshan of Krishna speaking in prema bhakti. And how do I think about myself? Trying to cover it up from everyone else's vision, what's really going on inside. But let all the fruits of my past activities, received and yet to be received, let all be the fruits of my past previous activities. Previously, he's saying Krishna, I compared your dark limbs to the monsoon cloud, to the blue water lily, and to the sapphire. I compared your effulgent face to the moon and your tender feet to newly sprouted leaves. Now these analogies seem like a pile of burnt mustard seed compared to a golden mountain, or like a chickpea in comparison to a touchstone. Remember what Prabhupada was saying in that lecture we heard? Krishna is there. We just have to give up this mentality that I want to be Krishna. Maya only has power over us when we are holding to that. It can be gone in an instant if we give that up and accept the position, I am Krishna's eternal servant. But the acceptance, as Maharaj has to be explained, cannot be on the surface. It has to be to the deepest, deepest, deepest core of our hearts. So these analogies of what I used to think that you look like, these comparisons are like a golden burnt mustard seeds compared to a golden mountain, or a chickpea compared to a touchstone, or like a jackal in comparison to a lion, or like a mosquito in comparison to Garuda. But by my poor intelligence, I've clearly committed offenses to you. Such inapt poetry meant as praise unto yourself as accepted by common people. I am like an unsettled cow threatened by the sudden appearance of your glorious form, but I cannot defile the desire tree of your beauty even with my destructive comparisons. In this way, the devotee profusely praises the Lord, and the Lord reveals to the devotee endowed with all qualities of love, as much as possible, everything desired in relationship to the Lord's pastimes, filled with the quality of rasa. Sri Vrindavan, the desire tree, the Mahayoga Pit, the most dear daughter of Brishabhanu, her associates such as Lalita and other servants, his own friends such as Subal, and the Yamuna River and Govardhan, forests such as Bandira, Nandishwar, all the mothers, fathers, brothers, friends, and servants there, and their houses, the Lord submerges his devotee in the enchanting tidal wave of various types of bliss. And then, after revealing this to his devotee, he disappears with everything. recovering consciousness after some moments. The devotee, anxious to see the Lord, again opens his eyes. And not seeing the Lord, he begins crying. Was I merely dreaming? No. No, I was not dreaming, because I have neither drowsiness nor any contamination in my eyes from sleep. Was it some hallucination or witchcraft? No, for witchcraft never gives such bliss. Or was it some defect in my mind? No, because all the symptoms of unsteady mind, such as laya and vikshepa, are totally absent. Was it the fulfillment of some material desire? No. No material fancy could ever approach what I have seen. Was it a momentary meeting of the Lord? No, because it is completely different from all previous visions of the Lord that I remember. In this way, the devotee remains in uncertainty. Lying upon the dusty earth, he prays constantly for the same experience, but not obtaining it, he laments. He rolls on the ground. He weeps. He wounds his own body. He faints. He recovers. He stands. He sits. He runs about, and he wails like a madman. Sometimes he remains silent like a sage, and sometimes like a social misfit, he fails to perform his daily obligatory duties. Like a person possessed of spirits or affected by evil planets, he talks incoherently. Unto a devotee friend who comes asking privately what is the matter, he explains what he has experienced. He explains what he has experienced. And when the friend explains that it was by good fortune, a direct meeting with the Lord, satisfied, he recovers himself and becomes happy. But he then again begins to lament. How can I attain that experience again? Was it a shower of mercy from some great devotee of the Lord? Or was it with the result, by lucky chance, somehow, sometime, of some past honest endeavor in serving the Lord? Or perhaps it was simply the causeless mercy of the Lord upon the lowest of the low? But then, because of a grave offense, I have lost him again? With muddled intelligence, I cannot ascertain the truth. Where shall I go? What shall I do? By what means? Who to ask? I am completely vacant, without soul, without shelter, scorched by a fire. The whole world gazes upon me, ready to devour me. Giving up this worldly association, I will live in solitude for a while. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving us a glimpse, as much as we can see, or I can see with blind eyes, into the heart of a Prema Bhakta doing this. I will live in solitude for a while. Doing this, he laments further. Lotus-faced Lord, who holds streams of nectar bedecked with fragrant garlands, which scent all the forests, which attracts swarms of vibrating bees. Just for a moment may I serve my Lord again. Having once tasted your sweetness, I cannot aspire for anything else. He begins to roll on the ground, breathe heavily, faint, and lose his mind. Suddenly he sees the Lord everywhere. He rejoices, he embraces, he laughs, he dances, he sings. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching. This is what Mahaprabhu has demonstrated. How, on the highest stage, how to be a devotee. And then, he dances, he sings, he laughs. And when the Lord disappears again, he becomes filled with remorse and he weeps. Being extraordinary in behavior, he withdraws his very life symptoms. He loses awareness of whether he still has a body or not. Then, not aware that his material body has passed to the elements. He understands only that his desired Lord, the ocean of mercy has manifest himself, engaged him in service, and is leading him to his own home. Thus, the devotee reaches the goal of life. So if we can take some steps by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the holy dust of Vrindavan and of Giriraj, if we can just awaken from this terrible dream in which I am imagining that I am a king and I am the center of the universe, and take a step in transformation towards attaining the real goal of life, then we are very fortunate and our time here has been spent well. Let us desire that. I received a note. We are running late. Sorry. But now let us run to take some prasadam.